Bienvenida, damas y caballeros. Welcome back to Freeform Radio on the Freeform Network. Remember to follow us on Freeform Network on Facebook and Twitter. Go on to our YouTube channel, rate and subscribe to that. We really appreciate it. Send in your questions, suggestions to ffnquestions@gmail.com. But again, this is Freeform Radio. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Daniel. With me today is Noel.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Thank you for joining us.
And Andy.
What's up, everybody? We're here, ready for a new week, and everything's all good.
Hell yeah. I wanted to start off the episode by giving a couple shout-outs, man. Got a couple people that gave us likes on social media, on other platforms. One of them was Latest TV News. Send a like and subscribe to us this week. And Product Review Quest, also send us a like and a subscribe this week. And Edward Loner 2050 Tower, send us a like and a subscribe this week. So we definitely appreciate those likes and subscribes. Send in those comments. Like I mentioned, hit that YouTube, get those views up, and we really appreciate it, man. We might even give you a shout out. But let's jump into the week. Noel, it looks like you've been chilling back and kind of relaxing with some bonfire. Give us the deets, man. What's your week been up to?
You know, same old this week, but the weather was finally nice this Saturday, yesterday, here in Chicago. And it's been a bit of a rarity to see a good weather day around here. Usually it's nice maybe on a Tuesday, but during the weekend it's like 80s, high 80s or humid weather. And so anyway, we had, I think it was like 75 and then 68 at night. Perfect for a bonfire. And we were able to get a lot of firewood for it. But I think next time I'm going to go to this new place that you were actually telling me about to get more wood for that.
Hey, man. Yeah. I'm sorry. I got a lot of wood over here. Just bring your trailer.
Oh, shit.
I cut down a tree last year, and I just got it sitting over there. It's all dried out.
Oh, damn. Hell yeah. I'll
definitely try that. Free fireworks. Shit. You can't beat that.
Yeah. Just grabbed Iowa.
But yeah. Did you check out that place on Roy that I just happened to be passing? I was going to go talk to my lawyer for some other stuff, and I was driving down Roy, and I'm like, oh, firewood. And I'm like, I was mentioning to Alana, the last time we were really into bonfires and we were looking for firewood, we drove past this place in like Forest Park, and they were selling bundles, kind of like the one you were walking in with that day. Mm-hmm. They were selling that for like $40, man. And oh, I was just like, what? And he's like, man, this is like premium firewood. This isn't the regular stuff. This will last forever. And I was just like, oh, no thanks. I'll take the generic shit. I don't need no premium.
You got skids in the back I can burn.
But yeah, how'd it go, man?
Oh, it went well, man. We actually cut some wood ourselves. We had like a little bit of a couple logs and stuff. And it was a good workout. But yeah, the UFC had an event that night. So I actually set up a little couple speakers, and then I have a tablet that I could, you know, tap into the stream with the Wi-Fi outside. You know, it's still good enough. So we're watching some of the fights outside, listening to them, and then just, you know, by the bonfire. And I got to test out these new packets I got, and they're like colored flames. So they're like packets that you just throw in, like packet and all. You're not supposed to open them. You throw the whole packet in there, and I guess it has like some kind of powder, maybe magnesium, maybe a few other things in there, or phosphorus or something. And it causes that that reaction that gives you the colors like green, blue, purple, red, you know. So it goes with the flame, and it looks pretty cool, man. Straight up out of like that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles episode where Splinter comes in from like the fucking astral realm and he's talking to the turtles and shit. I'm a little dating myself right there, but awesome night, man.
Ah, sweet. Yeah, it was really nice yesterday. We had some stuff going on, so we kept pretty busy during the day, but at night, yeah, we got outside for a minute and just hung out, and it was nice weather for sure.
Yeah, you got to take advantage of it when you can around here in Chicago, man, because you never know when that's going to come around again.
Yeah, I think we're supposed to hit the 80s later this week. So, yeah, those nice, cool 70s, I think, are going away for a while, and maybe the summer's going to finally hit us.
Yeah, man, it's I'm kind of waiting for it to warm up one more time. I'm hoping in August or before August, because we want to go hit the beach. Like when it's in the 80, it's okay, but you don't enjoy the water. But once you hit those 90s and jumping into that lake, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's a little too hot for me, but I mean, I'll be inside. You can be enjoying your water, I guess. But something else that happened, actually, it was a couple days ago. I think it was either Wednesday or Thursday. There was an announcement about this new gaming PC that Steam is coming out with. It's called the Steam Deck. And so they announced it, and they were going to officially do reservations for official Steam customers, right? And I've been a Steam customer. Well, the first time I had set it up, it was like 15 or 17 years ago. But then something happened with that account. I made a new one 13 years ago. So I had the account already over a decade, right? So I'm like, oh, sweet. I can definitely reserve this the next day. I get on to reserve it at the time that they had said. It was around noon Central Time, 10 Pacific, I think. And I get on and it says, oh, your account has not been in long enough standing. You're a fresher account, some BS like that. And I was like, what the hell? Like, what's going on here? 10 plus years is not enough. And I'm like, well, whatever, man. I didn't care too much because I was just interested in it, but I wasn't like dead set on getting this Steam Deck. And so I just left it at that. I came back another half hour later to see if maybe anything changed, if it was just a glitch. And sure enough, it's like it didn't say that anymore. It's like, oh, reservation servers are busy, come back later. So I'm like, all right, you know what? Let me leave it again. I went and chill with the niece and nephew for a little bit, you know, entertain them a little bit. And I come back, and then it finally says that I can reserve it. It has like the actual option underneath, $5 reservation on three different models. The first one being the 64 gigabyte. It's a multimedia card in there, though, for internal storage. So it's going to be very slow. Then you have the next step up, the 256 gigabyte, and that one's going to be NVMe Gen 3. And then you have the 512. That's the most expensive out of the three. And that one's going to have as well NVMe, which is an SSD that is it's very fast. It's probably the newer technology, or at least relatively new. And so I actually reserved the middle one, the 256 gigabyte NVMe Gen 3. That was $529 is going to be the cost of it, but I only put down $5. So, you know, if something changes and I don't want it anymore, you know, maybe I could buy it and resell it, or, you know, maybe I could just refund my reservation of that.
Yeah, I'm hearing some good buzz about it. It's not something that I really want, but I did hear a lot of good buzz. I think in particular just because Nintendo Switch kind of shit the bed with their latest announcement, which was like a week prior to this, you know, Steam Deck thing. So, yeah, I think because people were kind of shitting on the Switch, it gave the Steam Deck a boost. And I'm wondering if even Valve took it to their advantage when they heard the Switch upgrade to the OLED screen. And they were like, this is our chance to announce the Steam Deck and get pre-orders going while people are kind of shitting and looking for that next-gen handheld device.
Oh, I agree. It was really perfect timing. It was like the perfect storm for Nintendo to maybe that will force them to finally step it up, because their newest offering is pretty much the same hardware with a minor upgrade in the screen to OLED screen. So you're gonna spend $50 extra for a Nintendo Switch this year just to get an OLED screen, where for $50 more than that, you can get a brand new gaming PC that's literally in your hands. I could play all the games I have on my Steam account on there. I could play Mortal Kombat, Batman, maybe some racing games, other fighting games, things that are easier with a controller, that is. You could even do FPS, though. It has a trackpad on there, but I don't know how likely I am to use that.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought it up, Noel, because I did see I wasn't really sure what it was, but I saw it was trending on social media platforms, and I'm like, is this a console? Like, Steam made a console? I'm like, but they kept saying computer or gaming computer and all the things that I saw on Twitter, and I'm like, I'm gonna have to ask them, because I thought Steam's whole thing was like, we're not going to have a because everything was going to be streamed, right? And then when I saw that, I'm just like, oh man, like I guess I don't understand it because I'm still having issues. I'm like on the fence about a PlayStation 5, but I'm like, if I'll see it, I'll probably end up buying it, but I haven't even seen that. So I'm like, is this just another console? But I see they're giving you some options on like storage and all this other stuff. So it's going to be interesting to see when it official people start getting, you start seeing some of the reviews, how, and at the price point that it is, I don't know if that's a good value or not, or is it just better to, like, people like you who make your own computers for streaming and gaming, like, I guess I'm looking at the word is value. Is it? Yeah, it's like a pace, whatever. You said $500. Like, I'll just pay this and I'll be up and running compared to, like, I'm going to build this type of processor, this type of cooling shit and all this on your own computer, gaming computer.
Right. Yeah. I think it's, if you're interested in a handheld, which that's what this is, it's mm-hmm. not, even though it does have a dock for you to dock into, like a TV or a monitor, to me, I think it's made for the handheld, you know,
so they're pushing community the portable or people aspect of it.
Right. Yeah. Well, for sure. Cause that's what
to
it
me,
is.
To me, what it's I saw, it looked like a Switch. That's what I saw.
Right.
So yeah. it's not a console per se. I mean, it's a console in the sense that you can use it as that, but it doesn't only serve as that function. Right. So this will literally function as a PC. You could put Windows on it if you want. You could put a different OS on it if you want. It comes with a Steam OS built in. And so if you have a Steam library, like a bunch of games, Street Fighter, whatever, you know, on there, it'll automatically upload into that Steam Deck. You can download those games from there. So I don't know if you have a Steam account at all, if you know how that works, but it's essentially a digital license that you're getting. But you own the game, so if you install it and for whatever reason you never want to go online ever again, you already have it set up so that you can just log in offline and play those games. You know what I mean? So they are your games. You just have to get them on your hard drive. And so that's where the internal storage comes in. And that's why I didn't want to get the lower end, the 64 megabyte multimedia card. It's going to be very slow to upload all that. Or so depending on what game you're going to play, it's going to run slower than the other two models. So I got the middle one, which is a faster, it's the same hardware, the same processor, the same RAM, all that, the same GPU, but it's a faster solid state drive, a faster way of uploading that information. So that's why I got that one. But it, like Daniel said, you can also put it on a screen. So you can put it on your 4K TV or on a monitor, or you can just play it in the handheld. You can go to the washroom, play your freaking game right there, or before you go to bed, play it right there. And then if you're like, yeah, let me finish this game tomorrow on the screen, and then you put it up on the screen and you finish it.
Yeah, I think what makes it really appealing is that this is what Switch users have been wanting. They've been wanting an upgraded Switch that has more power, that brings you a little closer to what modern gaming is today. And from the little bit that I read about the Steam Deck, the teraflops are close to what PlayStation 4 was, the base PlayStation 4. So a handheld device that's close to the PlayStation 4, that's awesome. That's a huge leap from the Switch. And like you said, the base model is 64 gigabytes, which is the same as the Switch. And it has double the RAM of the Switch. So 16 gigabytes of RAM, that's going to be really speedy and nice. And I just think that a lot of people are really going to gravitate to this, the people who want that handheld feature. And people that want to dock it, I think that's more like what Andy was saying, where you customize your own PC and stuff. But this is, I think, going to speak more to the people that are playing while they're taking the bus to work, or, you know, or they're, you know, just kind of lounging around the house, but they're not on their main TV. This is stuff for them.
Well, what was cool is that, like they were saying, it's going to be a regular PC too. So let's say Andy buys this and he doesn't just want to use the handheld. He wants to use it as a PC as well. Well, you dock it, you put it on your monitor, on your TV, and then you put Windows on it so you can browse the internet or do whatever you do on Windows, right? I mean, to whatever your heart's desire. So it'll be a PC whenever you want it to be a PC. And then if you want to go and lay in bed or on the couch and you just want to play a quick game of Mario or maybe not Mario, but well, actually you can do emulation. That's another positive. Right, because
it's an open, it's an open network. So you literally sideload anything. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Thousands of games. Right. So that's another reason why I'm getting it. Well, might get it. I reserved it at the very least. So I might get it depending on the reviews. Because there is a track record with Steam. I don't want to be like this fanboy. I do want to give the both sides of the coin here. Steam has made other products, and those products did not work out that well. They have a track record of going big and going broke, and like not really satisfying the customer in all aspects.
That's why I'm saying the track record of. I mean, over the years, you know, since I know Danny. He's always told me about rumors and shit. Like at one point, EA wanted to make their own console, some other publishing people. And what they end up doing is just third party and shit out. And then like they make cheap shit. And I don't know the full details of this one. But like, and like you said, you know better. Like they don't have the best track record on that. So. That's like, I don't want to be like a Debbie Downer, but that does raise a red flag, like how all that was handled in the process of making that system or whatever you want to call it, a computer. But yeah, I mean, I always find it weird when I don't want to call it software, but like those companies want to make hardware, and I'm just like, oof. I think the only one that's been somewhat successful is Microsoft when they made the Xbox. Because at first I'm like, this shit's going to flop because it's another software company making hardware. And that's not their bread and butter, but they've been pretty successful.
Yeah, you have a point, man. And all I can say is we just have to wait and see and hope for the best. You hope that they learn from their previous mistakes. And
right.
At the end of the day, it's a $5 reservation. You know, I can still get it refunded, or if I wait till the reviews after it releases, you know, then I'll probably lose the $5.
Did they give you an idea of a ship date with all the bullshit that's going on with like the chip shortages and all this bullshit?
I can't give you the exact date because I don't.
But it's before the end of this year.
Yeah, just yeah, December okay. Like 19 or something like that. Yeah.
There you go. We should have a bet if you get it before the end of this year.
I'm pretty sure I will if I choose to get it. And at the very least, like if it's not like what I want, you know, I'll just make a little profit, sell it on eBay or something for an extra 100 and
right.
Call it a day. But yeah, I mean, that's what's going on with me. That's pretty much it right there. You know, looking over to Daniel, you were talking about going to Chili's. I remember last time we spoke, I think, did you end up going, Daniel?
Yeah, we did end up going to Chili's, went for Junior's first outing into a restaurant. He's now COVID vaccinated or whatever, if you believe in that. So he felt a lot more comfortable. He's just like, let's go out and eat. And like I mentioned before, he chose Chili's and we went and it was okay. It was nothing great when I finished my whole experience there. I was just like, I know why I was kind of leaning towards never coming to this place again. It wasn't terrible, but I guess it is what it is. You're paying for, you know, you're paying $10 for cheap food that's at a sit-down atmosphere. So it's like an upscaled McDonald's sort of thing.
Damn.
So I
banned from Chili's, man.
So I think as long as you have those expectations and you're not expecting like Portillo's tasty food, you know, kind of Bueno Beef style tasty food.
Well, what'd you order?
For me, I just had the soup and salad because nothing else really looked appetizing. They didn't have like any kind of like burrito combo. This the only other thing that looked kind of appetizing that I was kind of curious to try was a shrimp fajita thing. Yeah. But I'm not really huge into fajitas, and then with all the COVID stuff, I'm like, I don't want to be touching my food endlessly. So I don't want to have my hands dug into a food, making tacos and you know, trying to wrap shit up and, you know, kind of prepare this food myself. So I'm just like, I think I'm good. I'll just order a soup and salad. And it was good. The soup was good. The salad was good as well. They weren't too quick on refills. It was just like, mm-hmm. Hey, by the way, can I get another one here? And even the second salad that I asked for, I never did get it. So I only ate two soups and one salad, and then that's it. That's all they brought out for me. And then it comes with chips and salsa, or supposed to, and they didn't even bring that out. I'd have to remind the guy,
ask him.
Yeah. I'm like, hey, this is supposed to come with chips and salsa, right? And it's just like, oh yeah, hold on, let me bring that out to you. And I was just like, oh man, I like. But needless to say, Junior did have a good time. He ended up getting I forget what it was. Oh, a pizza. Pizza and fries, and he ate one slice, and even that slice, he's just like, daddy, this doesn't really taste good. I should get the cheeseburger next time we come. And I'm like, sure, buddy, don't worry about it. So Alana did enjoy her meal. I forget what she had. She had some chicken something or other with some pasta, and she said that it was fine. But I don't know if we're gonna be back or something.
Pasta spicy thing, right? I wanted to try it there. I've seen it. I mean, I haven't been to Chili's like in 2+ years, but I've seen it and I'm like, that looks tempting.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was that one just because she doesn't really dig spice too much. Mm-hmm. But it definitely was not a great experience. It was okay. I mean, it's for what you expect. We ended up paying like $35, I think, was our bill. So three people eating for $35, that's not that bad, but it's not a sit-down caliber experience where you're, like, sitting down and you're like, man, this was great kind of thing.
It's a big box, big chain restaurant type of deal. I mean, I used to like Chili's a lot, but the last couple of times I went, I kind of like how you feel, like, it's not what it used to be. I think the only thing I liked, I think the last time they had some type of burrito bowl thing, even I felt like they drowned it in too much sauce or some fucking goofy sauce. I'm like, eh. Like, I'm good, man. We're not coming back. Even the chips and sauce ain't what they used to be. The queso dip was like, eh. I've heard about their soup and salad, like the tortilla soup, I think they got. I heard it's really good. But that salad, I don't remember.
Yeah, that's the one I had. I had the chicken tortilla strips, and it's like almost like pozole with chicken. Uh-huh. And it's actually really tasty. Mm-hmm. It's a really tasty soup. And before the whole pandemic, that was really like my go-to just because nothing else really called to me. So I would almost always get the unlimited soup and salad, and then I would, you know, eat like two or three salads and then eat like two soups and then I'd be cool, you know. And then it came with chips and salsa. So, you know, what else can you really, you know, ask for? But yeah, man, it was okay. I think just people need to have that thought of that this isn't like, you know, like an Outback. Like, to me, even Outback is a little bit not like super, you know, classy, but it's better than Chili's, I would say. But
even, yeah, Outback too. I mean, for a while they were like I don't want to say hard times, but they were having their issues. And one of them was like, you said, like, hey, you had to ask for your bread. Like, where the fuck's the bread? Oh, yeah, right away. And it's like, you need to ask for it. Like, every time I've come here, you guys brought the bread out without even me fucking ordering anything. And like the last couple times a while back, you would have to ask for it. But now I think we went like a couple months ago, and yeah, it was just, yeah, they brought it out like right away. But yeah, I know what you're talking about. Like, the service is not what it used to be.
Yeah, even Outback, I get it. They probably did surveys and corporate found out, you know, 30% of people don't even eat the bread. So they probably did some calculation and figured out, hey, if we stop bringing the bread default, we can save, you know, $1 million a year. And so they're just like, we'll still bring it out, but you have to ask for it so we can bring it out to you. And I bet you they're saving a ton of money by doing it that way, because some people might not like that wheat bread that they bring out, which I think is pretty good. Their bread.
How dare you? Everybody loves that bread. That's why it's so bad for you.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. For
I mean, bread in general is just that's what causes cavities, causes heartburn, inflammation. I had to quit bread recently, dude. And I'm not going back, I don't think.
Wait till you try that first tortilla de harina, man. You're going to be like, fuck. After a while, dude, you're going to miss that shit, man.
That I kind of will make concessions for. I'll get chicken breast. I've been on this kick of like Amazon Fresh.
Mm-hmm.
I get some chicken breast, that hormone free shit. And then, yeah, make some chicken fajitas, tortilla de harina.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not really a tortilla de harina kind of guy, man. I like corn tortillas.
Flour tortillas for all the guys out there.
Yeah, I don't really like flour tortillas all that much. I'll eat it every blue moon, but to me, it's not like when you order the fajita mix at Chili's, if you do order it, it comes default with flour tortillas, but I always get it with corn. I always ask for corn tortillas just because, I don't know, man, flour tortillas with stuff like that, I don't really care for. The only thing flour tortillas are good for are burritos, and that's about it. Anything else?
That's a monstrosity. Yeah, those flour burrito tortillas, those are it's a shitload. But yeah, like my mom made some around Christmas time or right after New Year's. And I haven't had flour tortillas from my mom in like a decade. Holy shit, dude. I indulged. I was like, fuck, these are really good. Like my mom hasn't made them in a long time. And I was like, fuck. and as you're eating them, like I shouldn't be eating this shit. But fuck, they're so good. And every once in a while, my wife's like, I'm going to make una quesadilla. And I'm just like, she's like, I bought flour tortillas. I'm like, fuck. All right, I'll have half of one.
Jesus, man.
And I'm just like, fuck.
That's like five fucks in a row. Dude, Jesus, man.
You forget. When you don't eat shit like that, you forget how good it is. It's just like, yeah, there's a reason it's not part of your daily diet, I guess I should say. Because like Noel says, bread is, I mean, it took forever to learn, but bread is not your friend. Yeah, even wheat, sure. And people shit on wheat now. Even it's a little bit better, but it's not great,
right? Yeah, I think if you're gonna eat anything, wheat is the better. But yeah, it's not that great for you either. So if you think you can eat a whole loaf of wheat bread and be all good, no, it's just as bad as eating, you know, flour tortillas and stuff. But jumping out to my other thing I wanted to talk about is I've had a want to watch The Sopranos for a while. And I was like this close to ordering HBO Max just to watch it because I think that's the only way you can watch it or stream, you know, other than ripping it off. But I was this close to getting it. And with us doing kind of like the spring cleaning and getting stuff organized around the house, I forgot I had the first three seasons on DVD. Now, granted, it's DVD. It's not Blu-ray. I'm sure it looks better in HD if it's even available in HD, which I'm assuming it is.
At its finest.
Right. But, man, I was just like, man, I forgot I had these. So me and Alana started watching it, and we just finished season one like a day or so ago. And, man, I forgot how good of a show this is. I don't know if I'm going to watch the whole thing. I only got three seasons as far as DVDs. Maybe after watching the three, it'll kind of entice me or take me over the edge of getting HBO Max or maybe pursuing the rest of the DVDs. But, man, season one was awesome. It's a really good show. For people that haven't seen The Sopranos, this is a definitely must-watch TV series. Do you guys got any thoughts on Sopranos?
Well, if you want to keep the DVD experience going, I got the rest of the seasons on DVD-R. So you lose a little bit on quality. When I was burning DVDs like a motherfucker, but I do have it complete. I mean, want to use them. But yeah, I mean, I've talked about it in the past, that show. I've watched it like maybe 4 to 5 times from beginning to the end. I think I just started on, I had the DVDs. I watched it like twice. Then they were, I mean, when HBO was on Amazon, you remember, a couple years ago, like 5, 6 years ago?
Right.
I would watch it through there. And then I started, I watched it a couple times on there. And every time I watch it, like rewatch it, you're like, oh, you catch on some new things. And I mean, it's a great fucking show. Even though, like, the first season, we kind of talked about it, Danny, the first season with his uncle, how he was, Uncle Junior, and like what he became at the end. It's like, in the beginning, he was, I want to say ruthless, but he was a cunning fuck. And then when he got sick and his dementia, they just made him into like an old man that didn't know like what the fuck was going on, which was kind of sad. But yeah, I mean, it's a great fucking show. It's an American fucking like classic show. It's like a top five fucking series. I mean, it knocked MASH out of the top five, and that show was garbage.
Oh man, come on, Andy, man, MASH is a great show, man. What are you talking about, shit,
bro?
It's two different time periods, dresses, man.
Bro, come on.
It's two different time periods, man. That was what, 70s?
It's right up there with Bonanza.
Bonanza.
No, Bonanza is American
staple, bro.
Bonanza's okay. It's, I mean, great. Like the Rifleman, but it ain't.
Rifleman's good, but it's not a top 10 show.
But it ain't no MASH, man. MASH, I still watch MASH on occasion. I just watched one like 2 days ago. I was just like, man, what do I watch? What do I watch? And I was on Hulu and I saw MASH pop up and I'm like, yeah, let me watch an episode of MASH. So I still watch it, man.
The only thing I like about MASH is the song in the beginning. That song, I'm like, man, this is really cool. And then I watched some episodes as a kid and reruns on Fox 32 here, the local channel, and I'm like, man, this show sucks.
It's definitely a certain type of humor, a certain era of humor that we really don't have it like that anymore. But I think Sopranos is more like a modern day American classic. It's up there with like Sons of Anarchy, Breaking Bad, things like, or Dexter. Those like amazing good shows that people should watch. Like, it should be part of your curriculum of American culture.
No, I agree.
I mean, the thing with Sopranos, I think what's helped it out, it didn't overstay its welcome. Like, it ended, I think, after six seasons, they split them up. Plus, they had some long pauses in between because of some labor disputes with the writers. So that kind of helped it. And it just didn't overstay. There's some shows where you're like, yeah, this is like Walking Dead. Like, the first 5 fucking seasons were unbelievable. And then, like, but how long is this going to keep going? Like, it's just a cycle of the same shit. And I'm like, and it overstayed its welcome. It's going into what, is 9th or 10th season now? And I haven't watched any of the last 5 fucking seasons.
It definitely fell off a little bit. Yeah. The only thing that's keeping my interest is Daryl. And he was never an original character, or he was never a character that was part of the comics. He's just one that they made original for the show. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's definitely fallen from grace, and they got like 2 spinoffs or 3, I think, now. And only one of them's done well, Fear the Walking Dead, and that already has fallen itself. So, yeah.
Yeah, but for you guys out there, Sopranos, I think it's a great show. Definitely watch it if you're interested into the mob life with drama and surprisingly funny, man. There's a lot of funny episodes where me and Alana are constantly laughing watching the show. But before I pass it off to you, Andy, just a quick tidbit. MASH, the intro song, did you know the name of it is Suicide is Painless? That's the name of the song. Yeah, I always thought it was kind of weird with it being a MASH unit that the theme song, the title is Suicide is Painless. I always thought that was kind of weird myself.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty, like I said, the intro was always cool. Like the song kind of made it.
Yeah,
it's iconic.
Yeah.
And then, but the name of the title is kind of fucked up.
Right. No, for sure. But going to something that's also maybe a little screwed up is there was a lot of passings this past couple of weeks. One of them in particular, Paul Arndorf, man. Not a super great wrestler, but definitely had his place in the WWE. Definitely had a great feuds with Hogan. But why don't you let us fill us in on some Paul Arndorf info here?
Yeah, I'm going to go into kind of wrestling heavy this week. But yeah, there's a couple passings that just made me feel old. First of all, it was Paul Arndorf. He had great, he's a Hall of Famer. He was part of, WrestleMania 1 main event. He always had, he was physically, great. He was jacked up. And this is, 80s. And he passed away. It just reminds me. I hate seeing shit like that from my youth because I'm like, fuck, I'm old. And then you see how, they're not old, but they're too young to be dying. Yeah. And we already know that he had some health issues, just he kind of not disappeared, but he, with the pandemic, even before that, he wasn't really making appearances. And he just passed away recently, the last week or two is the time of the recording. I was watching some of his matches this weekend and I was like, yeah, he was good, and he bounced around, WCW, Mid-Atlantic, UWF, and he was part of the Heenan family, all the wrestlers that he managed, and I think his highlight when he, looking back, I think one of his highlights of his career was co-main eventing WrestleMania 1, which, with Hogan and Mr. T versus... Hogan and Piper and Orndorff and Bob Orton and all this bullshit. And so, with Mr. T, so it was pretty cool in Madison Square Garden. Looking back at that shit, looking at it now, I watched some clips of that. I'm like, man, even when I was a kid, that shit was old. So that was pretty cool. I'm just glad, wrestling with people, these wrestlers pass away. It's something usually through drugs or some other suicide shit, but this is just natural causes. So, a good thing.
He abused steroids for a bit,
Yeah, he was jacked up. You look at him in the 80s with he was in WWF, and later on, he it's night and day. He was juicing. He had that run in WCW towards the end, but something was wrong with him. I remember one of his arms or something was smaller than the other one. He had a disease He was wrestling and he was still trying to do it. But yeah, by then he was training people, what I recall. But yeah, it was kind of fuck, man. And then you see these guys as big, bigger than life people, and then you see how they at the end, it's just I don't want to say sad, but it is what it is, and it's fucking sad.
Yeah.
And then the other one this week too also was the Patriot. I don't know, he was a big part of the Attitude Era for a while, and I don't know if you remember him, Danny or Noel.
So I was around in the, I was watching during the Attitude Era. Who's the Patriot though? I don't recognize that.
It was a guy. I kind of remember him too. He was around in Attitude. He looked like a wrestler. He was jacked up. He wrestled. His big thing was when Bret Hart was a bad guy and he was shitting on America a lot. I don't know if you remember that. They brought in this guy, the Patriot. He was a masked wrestler. And I remember him, Stone Cold and another wrestler fighting against the Hart Foundation. And his thing was he pinned fucking Bret Hart right in the middle. 1, 2, 3. He beat him in a Raw or an In Your House pay-per-view. And it was a big thing. And then the problem with him, he was always getting hurt. And But he passed away as a recording probably a couple weeks ago too.
Wow, I didn't know he had passed away. But yeah, I kind of was only
like he wasn't even 60. Like, but was he 60? Let me see here. Yeah, he was young. That's why I say Orndorff was like in his 70s, and he was. Let me see here. My slow ass computer.
He was born in 61. So I don't think he was quite 60 yet, but yeah, he would have been.
I want to say 59. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm telling you. It's at that age, it's like it wasn't like COVID or anything. It's just his family announced that he passed away. Yeah, he was 59 when he passed away, and Orndorff was 71. And like Orndorff has, I really haven't seen him in public or anything, like doing conventions even before the pandemic. The Patriot, I know, was doing conventions and some like small shows, but yeah. And like the thing I remember him was, like I said, during the Attitude, he would come out, he would get this huge pop, and people liked him, man. But like, I don't want to say, I think the knock on him was that he just got injured. To me, that means probably juicing or something when you get injured like that. And he didn't, they just never really brought him back.
Man, that's a shame. I see the Luchador, like, mask he wears.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, he would, like, jump off the top rope and, like, he, like, almost headbutt him. As they're going, they called it the missile, like the Patriot missile or some shit. And, like I said, it's just, I mean, by then, when he was around, I was a young adult. But, yeah, I mean, he was cool. And he fought, you know, the Bret Hart and shit like that. And he was around for a while, but then he just got hurt and he never came back. I saw some things on him. People were talking about him and, like, his whole shtick. And he was a great college football player, too, at Southern South Carolina. He was a Gamecock. And so, yeah, he was, I mean, he was, what I, everything I read, he was a, is what I know about him, he was a great person. He was a great human being, a man. So it kind of sucks. Same thing with Orndorff. He was a father, you know, great. Everything I read. I mean, I've heard some stories, you know, and shit, but I mean, it's part of the wrestling business.
Yeah, man. I mean, 71 is relatively young for Orndorff, and it definitely does more than likely stem from use of, you know, PEDs back in the day.
Yeah, like I said, he had some health scares. He had something with his nerves, if I remember. But I don't want to get too much into that. But yeah, I'm just he. I remember him mostly. I just remember him being like a dick, and I kind of like that. And then, but yeah, I mean, whatever you think, like, it's just, I bring it up because it's part of my childhood, and, you know, I used to watch wrestling, like, nonstop, so, and then, you know, the other thing is, like I said, it's wrestling heavy. The NWO celebrated their 25th anniversary on July 7th, and there was, like, all this shit WWE did, and they're on Twitter, it was trending for a while, the Sports Illustrated did an article on it. They were releasing their merchandise, WWE. Hogan made some comments, Nash, you know, and Scott Hall. And to me, that was like the start of the second revolution of where I would not miss wrestling when Hogan went bad. Hell, we even saw him a couple of times when they came to Chicago at the United Center. But Hogan was the big reason I think the NWO got over. Hall and Nash were a part of it, but I think when Hogan went bad, that kicked off that second wind of late 90s, like, fucking wrestling. And it was the 25th anniversary at the Bash at the Beach, where, you know, for all you people out there, it was a pay-per-view. And Scott Hall and Kevin Nash were wrestling in WCW. They just left WWE. And they said they brought somebody with them, and there's all this speculation, you know, there's names that who was it going to be? And ultimately it came up fucking, it was Hogan that watched out and pinned fucking Macho Man and shit. And the rest is history, man. And like to this day, NWO is one of the greatest wrestling factions. I think they're better than, I mean, the Four Horsemen are up there, but I think NWO trumps all that shit.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. I it was a great time in wrestling that really resurged everything and started it up again so that people got hot with it.
No, yeah. It was from, like, when that started, like, I just knew Hogan was in WCW, but I wasn't like, oh, I gotta watch. I was just like, I'll catch a show once in a while. But when there was stuff trickling out that he was gonna be a bad guy with, like, Diesel and Razor Ramon, I'm like, what? Like, the fuck is all this? And then I would, you know, this is like early internet, like not what we have now. And it was like a big, people were talking about it on message boards and shit at the time, and AOL keywords, all that bullshit. I don't know if you guys remember that. And I remember, like, fuck. And then once he did it, I was like, man, me growing up a Hulkamaniac, I was just like, I'd never seen this side of Hogan. And it was like, and I'm like, what, 19 years old, almost 20, 18. And, I was like, man, he's being a fucking dick, and he's telling the fans to stick it and shit. And I was like, people are throwing shit at him. I'm like, I've never seen that Hogan. Everywhere he came out, he was the good guy, fucking the kids, the fucking vitamins, prayers, all that shit. And now he's like, I did it all for the money and all that shit. And I was like, damn. And it just went off from there, man. And it was a great fucking run for like a year and a half, man. It was just like there was nothing they could do wrong, and they were fucking up everybody, always winning. And then when he won the belt and he tagged it up with NWO, I'm like, damn, this is some gangster shit. Hogan's from the streets. Like, he didn't give a fuck. And it just, they were fucking up everybody, man. It was an unbelievable run.
I always liked NWO growing up, watching you guys react to them. I was like, what the hell is this? NWO, right? So it was always an awesome time to see, like, them participating, them growing. And then they had the other faction, the Wolf Pack, and there was, like, a little rivalry between them two, I remember. And then if it wasn't for NWO, there would have never been a DX. That was my favorite.
Yes.
Because that was, like, more Attitude Era, my time period. But there wouldn't have been that time period if it wasn't for the NWO.
Oh, for sure.
And, like I told you, they wrote a Sports Illustrated, and they sold a lot of merchandise. Even to this day, they go, the two sweet hand gestures, a fixture a month, both talent and fans. It's like WWE sells a ton of them. I mean, they made money. They had everybody who didn't have an NWO shirt back in the day, right? Like, everyone fucking had it. It was like the cool shit to wear. And, like, people weren't embarrassed to show. They weren't embarrassed to say, like, yeah, I watch wrestling. Like, mm-hmm. That's how popular they fucking got. It was, like, it was crazy.
Yeah.
And then, the Outsiders and all that. I mean, it was a hell of a run. We saw them, me and Danny. We saw them and some other people at the United Center when they came here. And that fucking place was packed. I mean, we met him here, Hogan, some autograph signings. There was fucking lines out the door. He was wearing all NWO shit and stuff like that. So, man, yeah, it's fucking crazy, man. To this day, 25 years later, people still resonate that. They still talk about it. Younger people talk about it. It was a moment in time at the Batch of the Beach where, I want to say, like, the business got transformed, but it was... It is a key moment that kicked off that my lifetime, you know, the second wave of must-watch wrestling. Because as a child, yeah, you would watch it. You know, I watched Saturday Night's Main Event and shit. But it wasn't like people knew about it. They talked about it. I don't want to say it was too mainstream. But with the NWO and that second wave, like, that shit was mainstream. Like, you had Hogan and, like, Jay Leno and all this shit as an NWO character. They were doing cheesy fucking movies, or doing all sorts of shit, and it was just, they were on covers of TV Guide. I mean, with Hogan, I mean, you couldn't have done that.
Yeah, I always wonder, man, if the WCW had managed their money better, like, would they have really been a rival for WWE? Could they have been in business longer? Because I was watching documentaries about it recently, and they mismanaged their money so horribly, dude. It was ridiculous.
I mean, I'm reading a book called The Death of WCW, and one of it was, I think Eric Bischoff, he has a podcast called 83 Weeks. He might disagree with you, but a part of it was those guaranteed contracts because Hogan, WWF at the time didn't offer that. But there was some mistakes that were made. One of it was money mismanagement. Two was the contracts, and three, there was not like one executive chief CEO to make the final decisions. People always bitched. Like in WWE, you know, the buck stops with Mr. McMahon. In WCW, there was some issues with people could bitch and bitch and bitch and bitch. And like Bischoff was like, he was the president of WCW, but you could go corporate to other people, and it got kind of muddy for a while and shit like that.
Yeah, it was a shame. It was a shame to see it die and, you know, eventually get merged with WWE. But even that had its unique storylines and stuff. But you ultimately saw the end of what, like, made the NWO great. It was never the same in WWE.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, going back to the anniversary of NWO, like, that was, at the time, it was done. And it was, like, when they had when the WrestleMania at Levi's Stadium, I forgot which one it was, where it was like DX versus NWO. I mean, that thing was like huge, and you saw them marching down the aisle, and you're like, wow, they're older, right? And I'm like, you kind of missed the boat, but just the hint of it, it was just like fucking amazing. So I mean, check it out if you got Peacock and you got the network and all that bullshit. So I mean, even today they fucked that up with the WWE network. So we'll see how it goes. But we gotta go to the moon, people. This is gonna take us to our article of the week. So I picked the article this week. NASA. The article states NASA predicts the moon wobble, or boogie, as I call it. And climate change will lead to more floods more often. And speaking of flooding, right now Germany, parts of Europe are underwater. They had a lot of rain, and they're blaming climate change on that one. Whatever your thoughts are, let us know. But he said, NASA Administrator Bill Nelson said the combination of the moon's gravitational pull, rising sea levels, and climate change will continue to exacerbate coastal flooding on our coastlines and across the world. NASA Sea Level Change Team, which I found kind of interesting, I didn't know they had that, is providing crucial information so that we can plan, protect, and prevent damage to the environment and people's livelihoods affected by flooding. So I don't know. I mean, the article states that the wobble when in like 30 years, and you know, with climate change, whatever your thoughts on that is, with rising waters, once this fucking moon starts juking or something, it's gonna fuck up everything. Like always around the coastal, you know, cities, like when there's a hurricane, when there's major storms, there's always fucking flooding. But now with the waters rising, because they're blaming climate change, that now it's even gonna be worse after the fucking moon starts twerking. Down the article, real quick, the scientists. It states scientists have actually known about this wobble for centuries. It was first discovered in 728. However, the issue is that the sea levels have already risen to a point where now we must consider the moon's existing tide cycles will affect the globe. So again, they're like, we know about this. You know, we never talked about it until now because rising waters. And yeah. I don't know what you guys think about that, or are you concerned? There's always flooding issues in the coastal cities, so I don't know.
Well, I mean, what it was saying is that so after at the end of this decade and starting the next decade, 2030, it's just going to get even worse. So if we're seeing flooding in Europe already at this point, then it's just probably going to get just out of hand in the next decade.
Yeah, I think with the global warming issues, it's definitely concerning that, you know, sea levels are rising, you know, the ice caps are melting, and that it's going to become a bigger issue unless they start lowering some of the emissions. And I think the move to hybrid and electrical cars is definitely going to help out so that we could kind of mitigate a little bit of this global warming issue that we're having.
You sound like Third of Thunberg there, Danny.
Well, I mean, it's true. Global warming exists. I don't think it's as severe as they're making it sound, like, all right, stop everything that you're doing. I think we can still live somewhat normal lives. I just think we need to do little tweaks to kind of help it out so that it doesn't get any worse, and so that we can hopefully kind of revert it a little backwards and kind of get things a little back to normal. And everybody's always known about the moon. I didn't know it was shifting or moving, but everybody knows that the moon affects the tide and affects water here. So usually when they have high tides in Lake Michigan, it's always because of the moon. It's a full moon. The moon's closer, the this and the that. And it's always tied to that. That's how they can predict when there's going to be high tides. So if it does shift, we can expect some changes, whether it's going to be terrible or not. What to me sounded kind of confusing in the article, it mentioned that high tides would get higher and then low tides would get lower. And to me, that sounded kind of contradicting that, you know, things would get lower with this wobble thing. I would think if everything, either everything would progressively get higher or everything would progressively get lower, but not that there would be a radical change in the pitch where it's going to be super higher and super lower kind of thing. That's the only thing that I didn't really get in this article.
Yeah, it's at the end. Like I said, they know about the wobble, but the new variable is that with the rising sea levels, but they're like, if we can meet in the middle kind of effect, maybe we could reverse this. Tides are amplified. High tides get higher and low tides get lower. So yeah, it's I don't know. I don't want to say it's a concern, but the article makes it sound like fucking coastal cities, I feel like, going to be underwater. And I've been hearing that shit forever, dude. I remember hearing about California falling off and New York going to be flooded. I mean, it gets flooded because of storms and shit. But the rising sea levels, I don't fucking know. The West Coast of America has been, they're in a drought. So, I mean, it's been like that for years. So I don't know.
I was watching a few videos. Maybe we'll do a video or a article about this for the next episode. But there is a few videos out there that talk about the next 100 years and what the geography will probably look like. And they're saying that the flooding could get so bad that Florida won't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Parts of California won't. But they're saying, what are the possible solutions? And they're saying, well, we can start making some dams in like California, put them in there by the bay, I think San Francisco. And so you could, you would have like an inland lake or something, but you would have like a dam blocking the outside seawater from coming in.
Well, yeah, so they want to make it like New Orleans, because that's what New Orleans is. Levees. Yeah. They put these levees and dams so that people can continue living there. But if the environment is not suitable for living, you're going to always have these issues where levees and dams break, they finally give, and people are underwater. I mean, I don't know what to say about trying to live with the issue rather than trying to mitigate or fix the issues that are causing it. But I get what you're saying. I think that is a good thought to kind of try to fix that situation, because there's a lot of people that live there. But I think we need to fix the problem at the same time, or if not, even more aggressively than try to find a solution to keep people there.
So one of the issues, like right now, what Europe is going through, especially Germany, they have flooding on this town, which has had flooding in the past, and they built dams. to limit the flooding. They had a lot of flash flooding. But one other thing, I was watching a news clip from the BBC, and they were talking about the city, or this one city which already had a lot of heavy flooding. They were nervous that the dam might not hold. If that dam goes, like, that whole city is going to go away, because the dam is, like, under a lot of fucking pressure. And the news bit had a comment like, yeah, the city officials are keeping an eye, but they're not sure how structurally safe it is. And I'm just like, well, what the fuck's the purpose of having the dam if no one's really maintaining it? And then they're going to, but right away the politicians came out, oh, this is all because of climate change. And I'm just like always, like, they have all these things in place, but nobody really, they build it and then they just like walk away like, oh, this is going to, and then this is going to help us. And then when the shit hits, when the shit's going on, they're like, oh, we're not sure if this is going to hold up. Like, it's designed to, but we're not sure. And to me, always raises like a fucking red flag. And I'm just like, well, you guys built it. You spent money for it. Like, what the fuck? And I've never seen flooding like this in Europe since I've been around. I'm sure it happens, but this one's pretty big because they're talking about it. So I don't know. And Europe is always like, yeah, you know, we got better shit, higher levees, bigger, stronger dams. And now they had this, and now they're questioning if it's going to hold up or not.
It's a tricky situation, man, because there's no cheap alternate, like, solution for this. Whatever solution there is for it, it's going to cost a lot of money. And so, like, the one of those videos I was watching, it says that if we don't find some solution soon, that a lot of people are going to be displaced. And so even if it doesn't affect us directly, it could affect us indirectly when all the people that are displaced start moving into the areas that are more habitable. So areas like here, you know?
Yeah, I don't want those California guys over here by me.
No, they're all going to Texas, so it's cool.
But man, the only other thing that I think of, I don't want to get too conspiracy, but does China have anything to do with this wobble, man? They just recently visited the dark side of the moon. Are they doing something over there that's fucking this shit up, man? What's going on?
Well, maybe. My solution was, it's like, man, fuck that. Stop the moon from wobbling. Like, just throw like 100 nukes at it and see what the fuck happens. Like, you know, get this bitch fucking, hey, settle down. You spank it, you know, like, settle down. And then, like, I was thinking, like, we drop 10 nukes on a certain point. Maybe it'll start fucking, start juking and shit.
What if you make it worse, man? What if that ends the world? Yeah, man.
Nukes solve all that shit, bro. Come on, man. That's why we built so many of them.
Well, everyone, let us know if you agree with Andy on nuking the moon. But that wraps everything up for today, guys. Thank you so much for joining us on the Freeform Network. If you're not already, please follow us on Facebook at Freeform Network, on Twitter at FFR Podcast. And if you have any questions or anything you think we could talk about, anything that might interest you, please email us. Let us know. FFMquestions@gmail.com. Send that out there. From Freeform Radio, my name is Noel, and we have Daniel.
Yes, sir. Enjoy your days, people. They're getting shorter because summer is on the peak, and the days are going to start getting darker soon.
And we got Duke Nukem Andy.
It's all good. That's how we got nukes, man. It solves a lot of problems. Let me know what you guys think at ffnquestions@gmail.com. Or we could always just nuke the whales. You know, we got to nuke something.
Well, that's it, everybody. Thank you, and have a great night.
That was cool, Dad.